Okay, where is in the Sivas Shalom, Parshas Vayetse, what page are we up to? Kuf Pei Gimel, I believe. Kuf Pei Gimel, you see number Kuf Pei Gimel, and we're on the bottom paragraph in the right hand column. Ulo'or Zeh, Yuvan Mama Harav HaKadosh, Rebach Remezhvish. The Chus Yogan Aleinu. Rebach Meshvish, he was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. And he said the following. We say in Birchas Hamazon, we say in the Benchin, Kidoshenu Kidosh Yaakov. God is our Holy One, the Holy One of Jacob. Right? Sha'amam, so the Rebbe said, Rebonu Shalom, Kachenu Kemoshincha Kadosh Yaakov. Make us holy the way Yaakov is holy. You know, he made a little, I guess you would call it a Chassidish Drash. We say God is Kadoshenu, our Holy One, Kadosh Yaakov. So it's not, even though it's a little bit, it's not exactly the Pshat, but it's not that far away from the idea of the Pshat. We should become holy. In other words, he made a little twist. Instead of Kadoshenu, he said Kadoshenu, make us holy. But really, when the whole idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us different attributes and different descriptions is that for us to try to model ourselves after those descriptions, because Chazal say, for Halach, it says in the Pasuk, for Halach the Bedrachov, go in his ways. So the way, how do you go in his ways? Mahu Rachum, Avata Rachum, Mahu Chanum, Avata Chanum, where God shows mercy, you should show mercy, God is nice, you should be nice. So when we say Kidoshenu, God is holy, it means we should also be holy. We should also be holy. Kadosh Yaakov, like Yaakov was holy. Harei, second column of Kuf Pei Gimel, Mehechon Hoytzul Yaakov Kedushi Eloi Shekizu. Where did Yaakov get this hope? Extraordinary holiness. Rak Machma She'ata Kidashu, because you, God, have made him holy. Him came Kadshenu Gam Onu. If that's true, make us also holy. Umanua Nema Zodafgal Yaakov. Why is this term referred to by Yaakov? Kadosh Yaakov. The Holy One of Yaakov. Apparently Yaakov is holy. God is holy. And there's a relationship between God and Yaakov. Why is Yaakov called the Holy One? We don't say that Avram is the Holy One. We don't say, I don't know what you do, maybe you should. We say he's an Ola Tamima. But Yaakov, we say Kadosh Yaakov. Yishum, Shizu Haisa Midasa Shal Yaakov, L'Sakein U'L'Kadesh, called in Yonei Rishus, because the Midah of Yaakov was to fix and to sanctify all Rishus, all voluntary, everyday affairs. You see, the Torah spends the whole Parsha, Parshas Vayetse, discussing the everyday affairs of Yaakov Avinu, how he found his two wives, four wives, how he made his living, taking care of the sheep, how he gave his children names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So, this is everyday affairs, apparently because Yaakov did them all in a very holy way. You're not going to understand the three first blessings of Shimon Esrei. The bracha rishona in yona ahava, she connected Avraham. The first blessing, which is Avo, has to do with Abraham. Moshe Kosov, we say, Gomach HaSodim Tzoyim L'man Shmo B'Avo. Chayim HaSayim, we finish off the first blessing, Morgan Abraham. Birchas HaGvur is the second blessing, which is Ata Gibor, the greatness of God, he connected Yitzchak, Shemidah So Gevura, whose mid is greatness, Shulir, is fear of God. V'Omen Ata Gibor, Yichamoch HaBal Gevuros. Baruch HaShlish is the third blessing. Yonin Kedusha Ata Kadam. You say you're holy. Connected Yaakov Avinu. Kenitzke the Midas Amiuchedes Shel Yaakov in Kedusha. The main idea of Yaakov is Kedusha. Rambam Ravush Simon Kufi Beis Shmevayas Yidin Shal Trochot Kneh Nabon Yisuk V'Yakov Maybe Ma'agadah Yisuk Shiyakov Pogu B'Sharach V'Veitel Higdish Shmosh Kodesh Baruch Hu Oma Hakel Kodosh. Yaakov created the term Hakel Kodesh, it says in the Agadah, in the Medrash. Aino B'Tiferes Shlomo Pashizu D'Vamaskum Mem Dalet Aleph Yaakov Tikin. Ka'agdom L'chol Zeh Nemer Batorah Kol Pashas HaChalom. Now before the whole story of Yaakov's trip, we have this Pasha of the dream. Famous dream of Yaakov with the ladder on the ground going to the sky and angels going up and down the ladder. What is the meaning of that dream? Hine Yaakov Avinu Kashas Mebeh Sheva Hoya Achatamah Kimul Shonim Beveit Yitzchok Yudal Shonim Eitel Eber. When Yaakov made this trip out of Beersheba, he had spent 63 years by Yitzchak and 14 years in the school of Eber. Shavotam Hashanim Hegila Madreg Al Yonah B'Yota. In those years, 63 and 14, 77 years, he achieved the greatest possible heights. Shenikah B'Chiva Ovis, he's called by Chazal, the chosen of the forefathers. Niskadish B'Kdusha Al Yonah. He went to a very high level of Kedusha. Moshe Mechazal Shoeb Ben Hei Dalet Shonim Lerot Memiyom Avon. Chazal say at the age of 84 he had never had any Tumah in all his days. Kemerumaz V'Pashas V'Yishka V'Mokam Mahu V'Rashi V'Mokam Mahu Lishon Lashon Mil. He went to sleep over there Ba'otom Makom Shachat Aba Yudal Shom Shim Shuvayt Eber L'Shachav V'Layla. For 14 years in Yeshiva Eber never slept at night. He was busy learning Torah. But Meshach Kol Hashem Alalu in all of these years, till the age of 77, 84, Hayakodesh Kadosh, he was very holy. He had no connection to everyday affairs. He didn't deal with them. All he did for his first 77 years of his life was sit and study Torah. It had nothing to do with everyday affairs. Nothing. First by Yitzchak, and then in the yeshiva of Eivra. Atah yotzei charon. Now he's leaving to go to charon. And the Chazal say charono shalom. This is the fierce fires and anger and troubles of the world. Then yone olam hazeh. He's going to leave the yeshiva, going into this world. Umutal olav lakadesh et yone harishus. He has to make everyday affairs, mundane affairs, holy. Okay, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, he came to the place, Moshe Mechazal, Chazal say, what does it mean by Yivga B'mokam? Yivga seems to he bumped into the place. Chazal say, Bikesh Lava, he wanted to go past Yerushalayim. Not olam kulo kamin kaisel lefanav. The world turned into a wall. She Yaakov harehayu kodesh kadoshim. Yaakov was very holy. Kedisa b'medrash shamalachim ro ziv ikunin shelo kofkala makaber. The angel saw his image, which was engraved on the holy chariot of heaven. Akum b'vav l'takim chelak kereshus. Now that he came to fix everyday affairs, namdu b'fanav kikir. It seemed like a brick wall. Calling Yonne Olam Hazeh, in Yonne Harishus, all of the things that do in this world, everyday affairs. Ayah Hazerach Likoneis Azolam Hashokha. What is the way for him to get involved in this lowly world? For Yachla, he had a dream. Vine Sulam Mutzav Asa, there's a ladder on the ground. Zerosho Magi Ashamayna, page Kupay Dal. It goes up to the sky. Shebezeh Harolo Kodesh Bahu. Et hatshuva al ma sheikla el alev. Kodesh Baruch Hu now gives him the answer to what was bothering his heart. Kinyani olam hazeh. The things of this world. Heim kisulam. They're a ladder. Mutzav arsa, which is on the ground. Asherosha magia shemaima. And the top goes to heaven. Shal yizei she'odam osek binyonim hu'artziyin. Yochol la'gil ha'madregus ha'kvaot biyotir. By a person taking care of this worldly, lowly things, he can achieve the highest levels of spirituality. Ad Rosh HaMageshmaim, the top goes right up to heaven. Shadaf Gadar Chin Yonim Ha'atziyim HaShveilim Yochol Isonah. Only through these earthy, lowly things can he elevate himself. By overcoming his passions and his weaknesses and tendencies, Magil and Madregas El Yonan Piyoter, he can go to the highest level of spirituality. Kamama Rabbi Kodesh Magen Meshrit. Magen Meshrit said, we say in davening, Mola Ha'aretz Kinyonecha, the world is full of your possessions, we say to God. So he says, Sha'olam Ha'arti, this physical, lowly, earthy world, Molei in Yonin, is full of things, Shef Shabbaham, Liknoso Yisbokshmo, that man can acquire God. Mola Ha'aretz Kinyonecha, the kinyon of you, to get you, to find you, is dafka in this world. Haimush, dafka me'artius, efshe liknos Hashem Yisbach. Only through the earth, the low earth, can a person acquire God. Shagam kasha otek binyonim ha'artiyim, even as he deals with mundane matters, yochol ha'adibiyam, ledagos, shemanyos, he can lift them up to heavenly levels. Bechinat, as we say, Barosho, Makia Shemaimo, the top of the ladder reaches the sky. Mazgam came with Pasuk, it also says another hint in this Pasuk, Shekasher, Sula, Mutav, Artsav, the ladder is on the ground. Hainu Gam Meshor, Shehudi, Otek, Binyonim, Artsiyim, even when the Jew is busy doing ground, everyday things. So, Achlios, Oz, Rosho, Makia Shemaimo. He has to make sure that the top of his thing is getting up to the sky. And this represents the concept of the trait of Yisod, the fundamental trait called Yisod in the Kabbalah, which has to do with the areas of sex. One of the names of Yisod, a synonym, is Eretz. V'helo Yaakov min ha'shamayim, they show Yaakov from heaven. Shemida zuhu sulam mutav asa, this thing is a ladder which is in the ground. L'chorin nirati k'shayeches l'yonim atzim, it seems that it has to do with earth affairs, affairs of the world. Achurosho magia shamayim, but the top can reach to heaven. Madregas hagvot v'yotzer, to the highest levels. Angels of God go up and down the ladder. Malachi Elokim Hema Tzadikim of Hashem. These angels represent the Tzadikim of Hashem. Olim v'yodim bo, they go up and down. Kol aliyotehem Hem Aydei Midazu Aydei Shemitzkachim Mekdushel Yom. Then they go up, it's because they make themselves holy with a very high spirituality when they do everyday things. V'chein chas v'sholem. And also, God forbid, they fall, it's in this area, this trait. It says God stood over him on the ladder. To watch him. To watch him. Very high watching. If you want to become holy, God watches him with a special protection. Even more than nature. Yaakov had a special holiness in the midah of Yisod more than any other of the forefathers. They're showing him he can get to level which he had not yet achieved by studying Torah by Shem Ve'ever, Rak Asa B'Seisel Olam. But now he goes out into the world, the difficult world, everyday affairs. Yuchal Adei Midazu. He can use this particular approach. Lagia LeKodesh Kedoshim. To become super holy, bechinas roshem adiyah shemayim, with the top of the ladder getting to the sky. There's a racious Rav Hashem al Yaakov. This is the first time God spoke to Yaakov. Shenatan lo tshuva lematzav shel vayifka b'mokem Shenamet b'fonav hakotel. This was God's way of leading Yaakov through the wall which he hit when he realized he had to go into this world. Rebbetzin, this piece of the Nesiv Shalom speaks directly to every one of us. We are Yaakov Avinu. We are the generation of Vayetze Yaakov Me'Be'er Sheva Vayelech Haran. We leave the holy, pure and pristine environment of the yeshiva and we go out into the world of Haran Af, of a lot of anxiety and troubles and challenges to our faith and to our practice of as B'nai Torah. But this is the highest level. If we are able to take the everyday things which we do and channel them towards spirituality, we can achieve a unique level of spirituality. And he says, it's a very daring statement, it's even more higher level of holiness than staying in the yeshiva for all those 84 years, or 77 years that Yaakov was basically in yeshiva. In the next 70 years, he achieved more holiness than the first 77. The next 70 years, Yaakov was in the rough and tumble of this world, and he was a tzaddik, and whatever he did, he was honest, Torah make a very, very, very important point that Torah makes in this parasha, Yaakovinu. He even had thousands and thousands of sheep to take care of. He was responsible for every single one. If anyone, sheep, got lost or hurt, he felt the responsibility to pay for it, even though he had an incredible, difficult job. He was out with the sheep, he says, in the winter, in the cold, in the snow, in the ice, and he was out with the sheep in the summer, in the pouring heat, in the middle of the summer days. All of this he did, and if one sheep got hurt or lost, he would pay for it from his salary. That's what Yaakov said. You see, he was incredible, tzaddik, and honest in his business affairs. And that's why we have an incredible, illustrious tradition of Hasidim and Torah Jews in business, in every walk of life, trying to be Makadosh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify God's name in the way they run their business and do their jobs. This, he says, is the highest level of Kedusha, and this speaks directly to us. Now, yesterday, I asked various Bachurim to think about different things and tell us three different approaches to each of these various things, how you can do this seemingly mundane, everyday activity and dedicate it to the service of Hashem, learn something holy from it, and thereby elevate it to make it truly knowing God in everything we do. So we'll start on the right and we'll work our way around the room and we'll see what people have come up with. Okay, Ellie, you were the first. What was your topic? And give us your response.
My topic was how do we serve Hashem when we leave breakfast in the morning?
How do you serve Hashem? How can a person serve Hashem when he eats breakfast in the morning?
He should go.
Okay. What did you think?
One of the ways that we serve Hashem by eating is obviously when we eat, we have the power to do the mitzvah and to go, you know, go out and do what Hashem wants us to do and to sit and learn without, you know, having food in mind, you know, when I go eat this or when I go eat that.
Excellent.
We
gives
can
us the energy
while being hungry.
Energy and the nutrition to do the things we have to do to serve Hashem during the day. That's right, that's number one.
The second way is, of course, we right before we eat, we say the bracha. Thereby, we say, you know, we appreciate the food that Hashem gives to us.
Good. And second, you know, is by is a given. Saying the bracha before we eat We show our appreciation for Hashem giving us that stuff.
And the
Brocha
afterwards is also included in the second.
Yeah, Brocha afterwards is included.
Those Brochas are a huge way of what is Hashem, because every Jew, you know, has to say a certain amount of Brochas a day, and that's very important for the serving Hashem. And the third way of serving Hashem, we actually, by eating it and, you know, in the proper way, for with the right intention, we're actually elevating the food and making it holy. For example, if the cow, you know, the car hasn't spent its life and died in vain, it died for the service of Hashem, because when we eat the cow, we take that energy and we do the mitzvahs with it or we learn with it. Actually, we're giving the cow or the tree the cloth of doing mitzvahs and learning Torah.
Okay, we're elevating a lower level material to a higher level of spiritual. So three excellent ideas on how eating breakfast can bring one closer to Hashem, God Almighty, by appreciating the fact that He gave us this food, by dedicating our nutrition to service and good things, by thinking about how the cycle, God made the cycle, which elevates one level to the next level. Very good. Okay, great. Okay, next, Misha. What was your topic?
Turning on and turning off the light.
How is turning on and off lights a way of achieving a spiritual experience with Hashem?
Yes, in the morning I get up to the brokenness and turn on the light.
In the morning you turn on lights and you see. So you make the blessing for Kayach Ibn, that God helps me see, and you appreciate the eyesight which God gave you. That's what?
Night, I turn off the light, go to
bed,
in order to get up and
turn
Hashem.
Right, turn off the lights at night. That gives you the energy to sleep, the ability to sleep and get refreshed to serve God more. Very good.
Sometimes you turn off the lights and then you don't have the light. So turn on the light, you appreciate Hashem that He actually gave you life.
Third, you appreciate the fact God gave us life. Yes, you call us God, Alicia. Things that we know that God. Continue on the road to become a tzaddik. Okay, next. Who's next? Evan.
Are you sure?
Because I pointed people yesterday. I don't remember who I pointed.
I
gave four or five people. Okay, Evan.
So,
what is your topic, Evan?
I was to give examples dealing with how waiting tables.
How being a waiter at tables can be used as a, if you think about it, you can dedicate it to the service of Hashem, God.
The first one ends up being usually waiting on Shabbos. It's making sure other people can have some for Shabbos.
Okay, because you're waiting on Shabbos, you're having other Jews have a sink for Shabbos, only for Shabbos.
Secondly, I'm able to take and be Shemesh Mirech
Chum. You're also serving Chum, special way of showing service to Hashem, to God. Very nice.
The third way is that I'm helping people keep from doing Avera, because I'm serving kosher food. People may otherwise, it's a trade food.
Very good. You're serving people kosher food instead of trade food. And then I have kosher. Yashar Koach Evan, continue to be a Mishamish Hamid HaChachamim, which is Gadol, greater than Limud Torah itself, and this way you will achieve level of a tzaddik. Who's next? Shimshon.
Okay, my topic was turning on the car in the morning.
How is turning on a car in the morning the way to serve Hashem?
So I divide this into three categories. If you're in a car, which would be your mindset, then driving the car, which would be your mindset, and also the intention.
Okay, that's it.
So turning the car is always having in mind that this is entering the dangerous zone. Because there are speed cars everywhere. You should be very careful driving and preserve your life. In the part of the says, you have a choice between, you know, living or dying, take two life. So you should stay with the mind that Hashem always watches over you and protects you
Very good, because starting his tongue means you're getting into a danger zone, and a danger zone needs a special shmira from Hashem, and therefore you remind yourself Hashem Malachov Yitzavolach Yishmoch V'chol Durachecha, Hashem watches over you and takes care of you. That's number one.
So my Russian comrade just now raised an interesting question. He said, why is this walk? So this brings me to the second category. A car is very fast.
Okay.
So you're able to bring yourself to farther distance in a faster way than ever before to do mitzvah.
Yeah. Good. You can do mitzvahs with speed.
Speed. And
yeah, more mitzvahs than that.
And it doesn't say, I think Mr. Keller said that when you when you go off the mitzvah, you should do it with tenacity.
Jesus.
Oh, in the morning, he says, in the very first words of Shemar.
Back.
We should get out of the
middle. Yeah, with the side.
And then the third category is that. So that's my intention.
You said when you park or something.
No, wait. So yeah, so.
Start, drive.
Drive, and then also park the car, right? Oh. So then I didn't get out of there yet. But my other, what I thought of was that while you drive a car, right, you're going there to mitzvahs, and while you're in a car, you look at the world, and you see how the world, you know, how everything, like you drive, for example, New York City, you look at it. Tremendous buildings, everything is pulled up, you know. Such a great city. And the thing is though, there's so many people in the city that there's so many Jews, you know, you're so proud of yourself being part of the city. You're so proud of yourself, you're contributing to the city. That you know it's a way of appreciating what you're doing here. Like for example, the story of the old gentleman. When he was in the jail, the sergeant came to him, or the priest came to him and asked him, you know, in the Torah, that Hashem, after Adam, he ate the forbidden fruit, Hashem went after him and he spiked food for him. So he asked him, Ayaka, where are you? So the priest asked him, okay, what happened to his feet? Hashem doesn't know where he is. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He should know everything. People do everything. So how do we say no where Adam was? So Alter Rebbe says, Ayakam means he knew Rashi as once. So he knew Rashi as once, he wanted the original text. Alter Rebbe says, Ayaka means that Hashem constantly asks you, where are you? You know, where are you now in life? Every single day, what do you need to be contributing to yourself, to people, to society, and the world at large?
So driving around in the car and seeing buildings, seeing many people, teaches you, arouses in you the feeling that I'm part of a great humanity and I have a responsibility to humanity. And this is what God put me in this world for, to help other people. Yashar Koach, Shimshon, Pigdalia Sadik. Keep it up. Have all these kavanas togos as you drive around in the car. Now, one last, Aaron or Elio, one of you, do you have one of the topics for today?
Wasn't
you for today? Anybody else who was assigned for today? Shmuel. But you thought of your topic already. So was a homework. How is doing homework a way of serving Hashem? Three ways.
So first, when you do homework, you have to have order. You can't, if you don't have organization, you're not going to do your work. That's going to keep procrastinating. You're going to have a set order. So when you do your homework, it's helping you in the regards to Hashem, because when you have mincha, you have mara, you have shacharis, you have all these other different mitzvahs, and if you don't have order, you're not going to be able to do them. It's going to keep procrastinating, and then you're going to not to be able to keep up.
Very good. Homework teaches us how to have a safe, how to be ordered and go about our responsibilities in an orderly, responsible way. And this is very important in our Avodas Hashem. I have to know I have to have a Seder Hayom, and my day has to be orderly. I know I have to do a shachus in the morning, and a mincha, and a mariv, and other mitzvahs which have to do with the time of the day, and therefore doing the homework teaches me that. By the way, I want to announce that we began this morning three 8 o'clock warm-up Sukkot Zimra in the rooms of Mutz from 7:30 to 8. We're doing very loud, warm Sukkot Zimra, and then we go into the Mutz based Medrash at 8 o'clock for their minyan, which is our very nice minyan, but we're able to really express ourselves in the warm-up Sukkot Zimra session in the room before we come in there. We get up to Baruch Hu and join them for Baruch Hu. I want to invite everybody to join us again tomorrow in the room, the classrooms behind Mutz based Medrash at 7:30 for the Pesukei Dezimra warm-up. More than warm-up, it's a fire. You need a fire. Start the day for the fire, Pesukei Dezimra. And then we go on the rest of the day for the fire. So first of all, stay there. Excellent. Second.
Also, when you do your homework, you get better grades in your courses, and that allows you to perhaps get a better job, so you can get a parnasa. And the parnasa is to keep you alive and give you food, and so you can continue studying Torah.
Better grades, hopefully, lead to a better and easier parnasa, which then will hopefully increase your avodas Hashem Yisbo'ah, because you have more relaxed, you have money in the bank, and you're able to devote your mind to serving Hashem. Good. Second good reason to do homework, serving Hashem. Third, how is serving homework a third way of dedicating our spiritual side to avodas Hashem?
So this is for non-Jewish topics. If you're doing homework for non-Jewish topics, you can get a lot more appreciation for Torah when you see how stupid a lot of the other stuff you're doing is, and you have to do homework to be effective for that topic.
You see the hevdel between Jewish topics and non-Jewish topics, how Torah is so much more deeper and inspiring. The Chokhmah Torah sanctifies you, whereas the non-Jewish topics are just wisdom, but they don't create sanctification. So this difference between Divrei Chol and Divrei Kodesh gives us an inspiration to serve Hashem. Yashu Koach, Shmuel, Tigdol Yosadik V'Tamachon. Okay, who wasn't here yesterday and doesn't have a topic? We have to give you four fellow topics. Okay, Daniel, if you want to choose something, what would you like to do?
I don't know what I want to choose.
Okay, we have to try to give you an everyday topic. Did you go swimming in the swimming pool?
Yes.
Okay. You think about it, and tomorrow you'll tell us three ways that going swimming in the pool can help you and us serve Hashem better. And when you go swimming, this is what we should think about. We have to elevate our mundane activities to service of Hashem. Okay. David, you have a topic? Okay, David will tell us how doing laundry can be elevated and dedicated to the service of Hashem, and therefore it should become an avodah, as he brings down from the Maggid. Every part of the world is kinyonecha, a way to be konet, acquire Hashem. Doing laundry, swimming, whatever we're doing, we can connect Hashem. Yes, Eliyahu.
Browsing internet.
Okay, Eliyahu explained three different ways how browsing internet can be a service of Hashem as well. Serve God on the internet. Now then, Eliyahu will write afterwards. We'll try to make a class project to write a paper to develop this, and therefore then we'll send it over to Lakewood. Okay. Third and final contributor to our great project.
The easiest way to use the internet to serve Hashem?
Okay, you can write the sequel. Don't interfere first, Elio has to do it first, and then I said it'd be a Shia project. We're going to write other chapters. Okay, Ben, what is your other topic? Ben, what's your topic? You want to say tomorrow? Okay. Tomorrow you'll come in and give us a topic with three different explanations. Okay, so tomorrow, Baruch, you have your topic? Okay, so be ready for tomorrow. Ad Khan, Nesiva Show. Okay, about time. Now we're ready to start for tomorrow, the Chazal. I think it's the only. Bring me a cup of apple. Okay, let me take a tablet for today. It's the first time I've had a roll book. I now have a roll book, makes me an official attendance taker. What's today's date of time? September 6th, okay.
Or the
4th. Those are 6th of Kislev?
Terry Ellie Pulaski.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, I think we're about time. Ready? Take the attendance. Good. Okay, Yaakov Albert. Shimshon Eisenberg is here. Baruch Vakadi is here. Misha Bass is here. Eliyahu Duchovny is here. Yoni Goldstein is here. Jacob Hart is not here. Jacob Shimshon. Shimshon Jacob. Jacob Gonzano. Scott Ben Cohenim. Jeremy Jason. Matan. Hi. Evan Rosenhaus. Aaron Reitman, David Rosenblatt, Daniel Salomon, Yoni Feiner, Eli Polapsky, Jonathan Gritsch, Shemuel Steyer, and Noah Kaczynski. Okay. Now I get the real work. Okay, does everybody have a sheet of paper from the Victor Cholim Club to hang up? Everybody, please make sure that you hang up on your floor. Kibotai. Okay, we ready to start? Chav Tet, I'm a vet. Four lines from the bottom of the page. Two dots. Seven lines from the bottom of the page. Daber le Rav Chizda, the Rav Puna, with the Rav Hamnuna, the Adam Gadol Hu. About eight lines in the bottom of the page, the bottom side of Chav Tet, I'm in base, second side of Chav Tet. About eight lines in the bottom, it says, Mishtabeach le Rav Chizda, the Rav Puna. There's a Chizda. Mishtabeach le Rav Chizda, the Rav Puna, with the Rav Hamnuna, the Adam Gadol Hu. Amalo lechishiyavo liyotcha heviyehu liyodi ki asa. When Rav Hamnuna came to Rav Puna, chazya de lo paras sudra, he saw that he was not covering his head. He was came to him with an uncovered head. Amale my time alo frisa sudra. Why didn't you spread the piece of material on your head? I'm Malay, the Lona Sivna. I'm not married. I don't cover my head. This is the Gemara, which is the source for the mimic, the custom brought down in the Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, Ashkenazim, only to wear a talus, gadol, which you put over your head in your davening, Shmon Esrei, only if you're married. A person is single, Ashkenazim don't wear a talus. Only wear the talus kazah. Right, except for Yakish. But otherwise, no, it's a very interesting thing. The Gemara has this. He didn't. His Paris Sudra made me the talus. Rashi says, Lo Paris Sudra Kederach HaNesuim Shoy Regilim Lechasos Roshon. Like married people who have a custom to cover their head. So it seems that, first of all, according to what I'm just imagining, that they had a custom to wear the talus the whole day. And if you were married, you would walk around the talus over your head the whole day. But hey, if you're single, you didn't wear it. Or maybe no yarmulke. It's not clear what the Gemara means. Maybe only married people wore yarmulkes and single people didn't wear anything. Yes.
Didn't we also have a thing later on that it was only a custom of one person to wear the head covering all day because of that pasuk
Right, right. But here the Gemara is talking about the difference between married people and not married people, correct? It's another Gemara later.
It's probably
the talus, not the talus. You're right. That's right. That's right. Another Gemara later will be the yarmulke. And here would be a talus. A hadrila apamine. So Rav Puna turned his face away from Rav Hamnuna. Amalei, he said, Chazid lo chazista lohu la'api adenasavis. I don't want to see you until you get married. If you're single, get out. You can't come to the yeshiva. To come to my yeshiva, you've got to be married. That's what Rav Puna said. Why was Rav Puna so strict? He didn't want him to come to the yeshiva. Rav Puna l'tamei d'amar ben esrim shana v'lo nasa isha kol yamav ba'aveil. Someone who's 20 years old didn't marry a wife, every day he's doing sins. Ba'aveil assault the tzaitach, is he doing sins? Ele'ema kol yamav behir ba'aveil. Every day he's thinking sinful thoughts. Hero. The aveira of thinking bad thoughts. Not that he actually does anything, but the aveira is in the thinking. Hero aveira. Thoughts of sinning. If he's singing, if he's not mad, that's an aveira, but it's an aveira in the mind. Right. First of all, I thought maybe he meant physical. He says, no, it doesn't mean physical. It means the mental aveira.
Can we say on Shabbos that Shabbos all is good and well? But
where's that's in the other direction. If we said that you have good thoughts, you should translate that into good deeds. Here we're saying the reverse, that bad thoughts are also considered to be sinful. Bad.
You're getting punished for thinking.
For thinking, yeah.
Right.
Bad thoughts.
It's not that here where
Avera
is lesser level than.
It's lesser than the Avera, yes, exactly. It would be less. Okay, getting married helps a person have tahara, have purity of mind and purity of thought, and therefore he's going to be thinking less sinful thoughts.
Is it
very good? The Gemara says it's very important. Yes.
Is it a sin to think about
your wife? No, you can think about your wife when thinking about other women. The women, women are arayos. Either she's a goy to arayos, or she's a Jewish girl who's a nida. If she's a single girl, she's a nida, a lav, of kares. I think about that. She's a married Jewish woman, and certainly adulterous thoughts. So any thoughts about women who are not married to me are sinful. I mean sexual thoughts. So that's why the Gemara is very much for early marriages. The Gemara is very much against, or Puna is very much against late marriage. I have to tell you one thing, I'm torn. We discussed this, I think, yesterday also. The age of marriages nowadays. There's a big problem. I don't know the solution. That a lot of the fellows from our yeshiva get married late, after 25. It's 5 years a little late. The Gemara will actually get married at 20. So, I don't know what to tell you how to deal with that, but it's a big problem. Amar Rabba B'chein Tan the baby Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, Ad chav shana yeshiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzapa la'adam masa yisha isha. Kevin shegiya chav v'lo nasa omar tipach atzmosa. Until 20, Hashem is waiting, when will this fellow get married? Once he hits 20 and he doesn't get married, God says, let's smash his bones. Smash his bones. What is exactly does it mean, smash his bones? It's a shayla. Tipach, his bones should swell. So that, I don't know what it means, his bones should swell. Some kind of a sickness. What does the Masha say about that? Tipach has no sound. Oh, he says, very nice pshat. He says, like this, Gemara says that there are three partners in every human being, father, the mother, and God. And the Gemara says that the father contributes to the baby his bone structure. So the father's genes seems to be dominant, according to Gemara's theory, in the bone structure of the baby. So since the father contributes bones, the bone matter, and here this fellow doesn't get pregnant, he's not having children, so his bones will get a bone disease. That'll be his punishment, the Masha says. He gets a bone disease, osteoporosis, because he married late. If he married younger, he wouldn't get the osteoporosis.
I'm not afraid of being married for so long. Before that age, and they still have osteoporosis.
So they must have done a different sin. I don't know. But this sin they didn't do. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Haida difna machaveroi, why am I greater Talmud Chacham than my colleagues? Rav Chisda was a great Talmud Chacham, right? The Nesivna B'shitza. I married when I was 16. You have in the Sibna Babesa, if I would have gotten married at 14, have Amina Lusatan Giva Be'encha. I could have told Satan himself, here's an arrow in your eye. I could have shot him with an arrow in the eye. What's 14? Omale Rabbul Rab Nasim Bar Ami. Adiyadach al Tzave de Brech Mishitza Bar Esim Batata. You have influence with your hand on the neck of your son. In other words, you can influence your son from 16 to 22. For Amila, Matam Nisrei at Esavam, from 18 to 24. Let's see what Rashi says. What is he referring to? Adiyadach asabi debrech, ba'od yotcha tekif al pincha kodim shiagdil loikavatach achasach haseo isha. While you still have influence on him, get him married. In other words, you can, from 16 to 22 or 18 to 24, as a parent, you can still influence the child, the son, the daughter, how to get married, when to get married. Once they're older, past 24, they're not going to listen to your advice anymore. So therefore, he advises them, marry them at that age. That's the first shot in Rashi. Next Rashi, Meshitza Shnin Negiyaz Man Lichnos, Kuyotem Esen V'tazm Al Tachre. 16 to 22 is best years to get married, or 18 to 24. Lashanacha, second shot, Adiyadach al Tzavet Debrech, when your hand is on your son's neck, B'shah she'od yadach tekif olav, have zahil alam b'tochachos, you can teach him good behavior. Ezez mano, what time would he listen to you? Meshitza esav v'tasim, from 16 to 22. Fasim meshitza, less than 16, hein bo daz l'kab b'tochachos kol kach, doesn't truly understand character lessons. Al tachbed yisuma tochachos, then you shouldn't be too harsh with him. He's only a teenager. Yotamesim v'tavdin. If he's more than 22, yeshlochish lo yiboyt. If you criticize him, he might rebel. V'zei is the main shot. So I said the main shot is not the question when to get married. The main shot is when should a parent be able to really give the full musa, the full teaching, the full character discussions and development with the child. And the child is even mature enough, and the teenager is very hard to talk to, so you have to wait for the later teenage years, either 16 or 18. And if he's a real full adult, he might get insulted and rebel. So till 22 or till 24. It's very interesting tomorrow. Very, very interesting. Titanoi, there's a discussion like this about Netanoi. Says in the pasuk Hanoch v'Nal Pidago, Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nechem Yechalav v'Meshitza v'Adesem v'Tavtin, Adam v'Matam Nesirei, v'Ad Esem v'Arba. Ad Heichon Chayev v'Lamer Adam Lamer is v'Not Torah. How much Torah should you teach your son? Am Rav Yehuda v'Shmuel, who Gom Zvulun Ben Dan. Zvulun Ben Dan is the model, Shelimzo Avi Aviv. His grandfather taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas v'Agadus. Put in Tanakh, Mishnayis, Talmud, Gemara, Halacha, Nagada, it's everything. Mason, I ask you a question. Limdo Mikra, Ein Malamdo Mishnah. If you teach your son Mikra, Tanakh, you don't have to teach a Mishnah. Amalava Mikrazu Torah. Only the Torah Shebuchsam. So it's a problem. How can we say here, teach him everything, and like Zulun Ben Dan's grandfather, and then you say in a Faisa, teach him only the Tanakh? So the Gemara answers, because Zulun Ben Dan, below Zulun Ben Dan, it's something like him, but not like him. Because Zulun Ben Dan, Shalim the Avi Avi, really, a grandfather should teach a grandchild. There's a mitzvah in the grandfather to teach a grandchild. Below Zulun Ben Dan, however, you don't have to teach that much. Do the Hasa Mikra Mishnah Town of Alakha for others. Do the Hasa Mikra Bulhav. There's a huge machlokas of the poskin. Some poskin say even a father only has to teach Chumash. Tanakh. Right. But some say no, it means the grandfather has to teach Chumash, but the father should teach everything. Machlokas. Rabbi Aviv mi mechayev. The one says his grandfather actually obligated to teach. The Rama happens to paskin that the father should teach everything, but there's a difference. If it's a question of teaching Tanakh, he should pay a Rebbe's salary. On Mishnah, he doesn't have to pay the Rebbe's salary. Because the Rebbe's not supposed to take a salary on Mishnah, he's supposed to teach it for free. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Tosh about pair for free. So every teacher tells you about that. Tells the teacher for free. For Sanya is a good, and what we take nowadays salaries, it's a special heter that they made in the Middle Ages that they said they allowed, they're going to allow Torah teachers to take a salary because otherwise they wouldn't have any Torah teachers. So they allowed that. But really, better not. So now the question is, as the grandfather chayev to teach a grandson, Vosanya v'braisa, the man is the most amiz b'neichem, below b'neichem, you should teach your children, not grandchildren. Mani v'chayim v'odatam l'v'necho v'v'necho, the other pasuk says you should teach your grandchild, v'am l'cho, sh'kham l'am is v'no Torah, malam v'kosu kilu limdo lo, l'v'no v'v'ven v'no atzov kol adorah. That pasuk is just more of a rhetorical statement. You teach Torah, you'll be teaching automatically, it'll go from son to grandson. But now that you have to teach the grandson. So Takashi, here we said, you have to teach your grandson Torah. And here the advice says you don't have to. So the answer is, Huta Amar Kahaitan. If Shmuel said teach your grandson, it's a different time. The son have advice. Matim Osam Es B'Nechem. Ainly ala b'neichem, b'nei b'neichem b'nayin, tamad lomar v'odatem l'v'necho v'l'v'nei b'necho. Teach grandchildren. Himkein matam lomar b'neichem, what's the shat b'neichem? Only sons. It means b'neichem, v'lo b'noseichem. You're chai to teach sons, but you're not chai to teach daughters. We already explained this yesterday. Ami Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha'malamed is ben b'no Torah. If you do teach your grandson Torah, Malva Kosov Kilo Kilo Mahasinai. It's like being at Hasinai. Shinema Bodatam Nebu Necho. Teach your grandchildren. For some claim, then it says, Yom Hashemad of Neshem Kecha Bechorev. Teach them about when you were at Hasinai. So you see, teaching grandchildren Torah is Mamish getting Torah from Hasinai. Because it's a question of generations. So that's Zaki of Hasinai. It's not just a father, child, it's generations. Rebchia bar Abba, Ashichel Yeshua ben Levi, the Shadi Disna Aresha, Kamatale Leonukal Beit Mishnah. He saw Shuma Levi put a yarmulke on his head. In other words, he didn't wear a talis over his head, as Noach said before. He put on the yarmulke. Rashi says it. The Shadi Disna Aresha, Rashi, Sadin, a yarmulke, a cap. She'eni ro latifa tzarosh. He didn't actually wrap himself completely like with a talus. Elakisri ba'almai, son al rosh. He put a little thing on his head. But lelech begilu rosh, not to go with an uncovered head. But his big, this atlas, he didn't wrap himself with a talus, with a cloak. By the way, is there any minimal size of a yarmulke? From this Rashi we see no. Rashi says, kisri ba'almai, any kind of covering As long as it's not gilu rush, it's not completely uncovered, it's good. So there's no, you can have a tiny yarmulke come. But Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva about it years ago. He said it's okay, but it's mitzvah in the lashon of the Rashi. The Rashi says a small covering is also good. So the shulman lady did that. He put on the yarmulke and then he took his child to the shul. Get to study. Amalei Michael Lehai. So Chia Bar Abba was. I see that you ran out of the house. You didn't wrap yourself in your regular clothes. You didn't. You just put on the yarmulke and you ran to take the kids to the morning class, I guess. Why are you running? Well, why didn't you get dressed properly? I'm a lay, so he answered him. Me zuta madachti v'zatam v'necha v'sam mechlei yomar shema v'shem achat v'chorei. It's such a small thing. The Pasuk says, teach your children Torah. It's like being at Har Sinai. I've got to get to the yeshiva time on time. I've got to bring my child to his cheder on time because it's like getting taught from Har Sinai. I don't want to come late. And v'yelech. Once that story happened and it spread around, so the Chia Bar Abba lo tom umsa de mikalim umosve. He wouldn't eat breakfast. He used to eat like sausages. Umsa is a sausage. As she said, basta ma'atza gecholah. Would he eat a morning sausage? It's very interesting. Breakfasts have changed. The goyim do breakfast. The goyim eat meat in the morning. It was a custom of the Chazal, the sages. We don't do it anymore.
So,
you're on track. Any good thing, we make a club. We want to bring it to Am Yisrael.
Take an extra
breakfast.
No, that's a Jewish question. Who the sponsor?
Yeshiva.
Right, Yeshiva.
Is there enough room for us all to come up for like steak and eggs in the morning?
Evan, you look like a good cook. I think you could make a mean steak egg.
You buy me the I'll tell you what, Rebbe. You buy me the double barrel smoker, I'll make brisket. I'll brisket about breakfast. Given Rebbe the lemon problem. Reasons because I know you're not a yak yet. And you hold 6 hours. I mean, you wouldn't be able to eat till after lunch,
Gordon. What? I wouldn't eat my bananas. I don't eat bananas and apples anyway during the day. I don't eat anything. I only eat one meal a day. Not a problem. Anyway, there must be a good reason why the custom changed. Rabba Bar Afuna Lo Tom Umsa Adamaita Mukumetunas. Rabba Bar Afuna also didn't eat his morning sausages until he brought his child to the Beit Medrash. Amar Rav Safa, Meshum Yebishu Ben Chananya, Maidach Tiv Yishinantam Levanecha, it says in the Pasuk Yishinantam Levanecha, Al Tiki Vishinantam, don't interpret Vishinantam, Ela Vishilashtam, do it in a triple way. Le'olam Yishalish Adam Shinoisa, the person should divide his ears into three sections. Shlish B'mikra, Shlish B'mishnah, Shlish B'talmud. One third of his life he should study Tanakh, one third he should study Mishnah, and the last third of his life he should study Gemara. Mi yodeh kamachaye. Because the person how long is going to live, he's going to say, 20 years I'll do Tanakh, 20 years Mishnah, 20 years Gemara. How long is the person how long is going to live? How can you do that? Lo tzvichi liyoyme. It means every day. Divide every... Rashi says, no. Yemei Shavua, Rashi says. Divide the week up into three parts. I should have given you that Tosfos. Okay. We'll read the Tosfos in those on the list. Lo tzricha liyome, pirish bukuntris, yimei Shabbos. Plum, shnei yomim mikra, shnei yomim mishnah, shnei yomim gemara. Lo niyut, I don't agree. Temkena katan v'motzeh l'mikrach, another time, I can ask the same question. How does a person know how long he's going to live? How do you know he's going to live the whole week? Maybe he won't survive a week. Yudah l'farish, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, atzmo, every day itself, yishalesh. You should divide into three. Al kain tikan, the seder of amam gon, K'mosh anunogim b'chol yom kodem suke de zimra lom mikra mishnah. That's why in the siddur of Rav Amram Gaon there's a minig to say before suke de zimra, before Baruch Shema, we say some sukim of Tanakh, we say the parasha of Tamid, or it's through Avraham Avinu and the Akedah, we say it's a Mishnah, Tanu Rabbanan, Pita Maktoros, Ketzad, and or Eizem Makom Mishal Zvachim is Mishnah, and we do some later things after the Mishnah, the Tanu Rabbanan, Pita Maktoros, or Rabbi Shmuel Omer, in order to get all three levels. Beinu Tam Pirish. Beinu Tam says, in his day and age, they did not divide the day into three. They just learned Gemara the whole day, like we do here. Shana Sanhuad, Amin, Mesechet, Sanhedrin, the Gemara kind of disagrees with the Gemara here. There it says, Bavel, to the Talmud, Bavel, Balula is mixed, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Gemara is Bavel, Bavel, Mekulam. The Gemara from Bavel has everything in it. You don't have to divide your day into three parts, if you just learned Gemara, Bavel, you have everything. You have Sukkim, you have Mishnayis, you have Gemara, you have everything.
Is it different with the
Yerushalmi? Right, it's a machlok in the Gemara Kedushin and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara Kedushin says the favor is here that you should divide the day into three. The Rambam part is not the Gemara Kedushin. The Rambam says a person should divide every day into three sections: Tanakh, Chumash, and Gemara. Until he says he's a very big expert in Chumash and Tanakh and Mishnah, he's a big expert, then he can spend the whole day learning Gemara. The Rambam put both Gemaras, both things together. My personal opinion is that our education here is flawed. We're just learning Gemara Bavli, and my personal opinion is that our generation is not fit for doing that. The Rebbeinu Tam, the Shonim, and then the European Gedolei Achronim, the Yeshivas of Europe, they could just learn Gemara Bavli, and they learned everything with it. But today is different. Our generation is weak. Our generation has to have, like the Rambam, or the Gemara here, a third. That's why I do the Chassidus, which is really Chumash and Haggadah. I mean, it's a combination of discussing the Chumash, the Parsha, and discussing Haggadah, Hashgafa, Muna. Just the Gemara itself doesn't work for us, I'm sorry to say, for most people. Some it does. Okay, but no one's asking me. That's what it is.
Rabbi, how come we don't mention halacha?
Mishnah is halacha. Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, when it said Mishnah, that was the halacha, was conclusions of the discussion. So everybody, you should try, you have to do the Pasha of the week. At least Shnai Mikra, Be'achatavu. Read the Pasha of the week. In fact, I said the other day I wanted to read it in Shia, just to read the Psukim. We should go through Hosh Pshav, the Psukim. But I want someone, maybe Evan can do this. I want someone to bring to our Shia 20 Chumashim. We should have in the Shia class the 20 Chumashim that we're able to learn every day to go through the Pasha of the week. So you can work it out, Evan. Perhaps with the Gaboy of the Sfarim. There's a certain person, I don't know who he is, an official based man, Rishi's in charge of all the Sfarim. Tell him that Rebbe wants to learn with the boys in the Shir the Pasha of the week, and every boy should have a Chumash. I just want to read the Psukim. Because.
You bring Chumashim to the Shir?
You can bring Chumashim, but I don't know if the boys have Chumashim. How many boys here have a Chumash that you could bring to Shir? About half. Oh, really? So we don't really need 20. We need, let's say, 10. Okay. Starting tomorrow, Balim Nezer, everybody please bring a Chumash so we can at least read for 10-15 minutes the Psukim of the Pasha. Okay? Without Rashi, just the Chumash. No Rashi, just read the Chumash. The Shiva Shalom, we already discussed some of the ideas. Rashi, he won't get it. Thanks for the time for us. Yes, tell me.
The
Mikra
that
the Gemara
is referring to Tanakh.
Mikra probably Tanakh. Toshiba Sahib. Okay, back to it. Lefichach, Nikurishonim, Sofrim. Why are the original Torah scholars called Sofrim? Shai Sofrim Kala Otisha B'Torah. They would count all the letters of the Torah. Shai Omrim Vav the Gachom, the Vav in the word Gachom, Chetzion shall otsir shall sefer tov. Dorosh, Dorash, Chetzion shall sefer. It's half the word. His galeach shall psukim. Yechasemen ochazim miyar, ayin diyar, Chetzion shall tehillim. Hurachim chafa avon, Chetzion de psukim. Boy Rav Yosef, Vav de Gochon, Mahai Gisa, Mahai Gisa. The Vav of Gochon is halfway through. Which half is it? The first half? Is it the last letter of the first half or the first letter of the second half? Yes, Noah.
Yeah, when you consider the Sophim, or is it called Sophim, where does the name Sophim originate from?
This Gemara. This Gemara, yeah, counting.
So what does it have to do with actually writing the letters?
I guess who counts letters? The guy who writes the letters. So, probably.
So first count letters, is that another thing? Yeah.
Well, I guess that who's going to sit down and count all the letters of the Torah? Who has time to do that? But if you're a sofer, you're writing it anyway. You can count. So therefore, the word got two meanings. It got the word of a counter, that's the original meaning, and then it got the word of a writer. It's interesting. This is Gemara, by the way, I heard from Rabbi Wolfson many times. He discussed the Lafi Chassidus, the idea of counting the letters of the Torah.
There are some that are written but not spoken.
Right, because every letter of the Torah is a Jewish soul. Yesh Shishim Yisrael. Yesh Shishim Ribui Otiot Latov. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah. The Torah, every Jew has his letter in the Torah.
Does
that
say
that
number or?
No, 600,000 is the Kabbalistic number. So sometimes there's really something like 350,000. But many letters are really combinations of two letters. For example, a ches is two zayin. Write a ches, and so you take a zayin and another zayin, you attach them, you have a ches. Or, various letters are like that.
An aleph is a nun and two yuds.
Right. So therefore you can, there's some mystical way of counting the letters by dividing it up into pieces, so you get 600,000 letters. You get Yisrael, Yesh, Shishib, Ribu, Aleph, Osios, Latov. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah, Yisrael. And then, Yeshurun is the name for the Jews. Yeshurun, Yesh, Shishim, Ribui, Nefashos. There are 600,000 Jewish souls. That's why you have the concept of twin souls. Husband, wife are really two parts of one soul. Certain times, friends are two parts of one soul. But there are never more than 600,000 Jewish souls in the world. So, what's the idea of counting the letters? Counting Jews. Every Jew is special, needs a special count. No, I mean, this is the reason. It's a different, slightly semantic meaning. It has nothing to do with the Gemara before. It's a new thing. Okay, right to the Gemara, where we're up to. So we don't know if Gochom wears the bar. Amalei, Nase Sefer Tov Ninu. Mila Amar Rabba Barav Kunalo Dozen Yisham Machiri Sefer Tov Manum. Why not just count the letters? A Malay, so Yosef said, Inu b'kib, says for yourself, they knew which words missing a yud, which words have a yud, missing a vav, because many words in the Torah, you can put a yud in there or drop the yud. Right? say Levi. You spell Lamed Yud Beis Yud or Lamed Beis Yud. Beisi, Beis Yud Tav Yud or Beis Tav Yud. So there's a difference. Lamor, Lamed Aleph Mem Reish or Lamed Aleph Mem Vav Reish or Lamor Lamed Mem Reish Vav Reish. This is the Aleph, not the Aleph. The Chaseis V'Yaseis. Words in Hebrew have multiple spellings where you can put in certain letters and remove certain letters. Usually these letters don't really add anything to silent letters like Yuds, Vavs, Alephs. Right. So he says, they knew, they could count. We don't know. We don't know, but we're not the key. Boy of Yosef, v'hizgalach. The word v'hizgalach we said before was half of the Torah and Pesukim. Mahagis and Mahagis. Where do you put that pasuk? In the first half, second half. Amalei Abay Pesukim Mir Let's Eliminate. We can count the Pesukim. So the answer is Pesukim Nami Lo Bekiyin. We only know the Pesukim. We're not talking in Pesukim. Yichotu Abacha Ba'ada Amar Ba'marov Pasuk Le'lahai Kuala Kuala Pesukim. In Israel, they would take this pasuk and divide it into three parts, three Pesukim. Yom Hashem El Moshe. Hinei Nechi Bo'al Lecho Ba'afa Ona. Okay, we have it as one pasuk. They had it as three Pesukim. Son of Rabbanu. Chameshes Alofim. Shmona Meir. Shmona Mushmona. Psukim, Havi Psuke, Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has 5,888 Psukim. 5,888. Yet Allah Tehillim, Shmona. Tehillim has 8 more than that. Chatam Menu Divya Yomim, Shmona. Divya Yomim, Book of Tanakh, Divya Yomim has 8 less. Tana Rabbanan, Vishinanta, Torah, you should study Torah with your son. It also means sharp. Shana means to be sharp. Shehei Devei Torah Mechudadim Beficha. Devei Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Shemishacha Lecha Adam Dover. If a person asks you something, Al Tagam Gain. Don't stutter. V'tom Alo. El Emelo Miyad. Say it right away. Rashi says, Yem Mechudadim Beficha, Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Chazar Aleim, review them. The dog ba'amkom, think about them deeply. Shimshalcha Adam, lo tetzach legam game. If a person asks you a question, you're not going to have to stutter. Al shetu chalom and miyad, you give them the answer right away. So now, as it says, we'll come back to that toast in a second. Shenema emol lechok mechotziat. Bamakasham alet bosecha, kasvam, kasvein, aluach libecha. Bamakachita miyad gibor, kain b'nei anud. Bamakachita gibor, shnunim. Bamakachitecha shnunim, amem tachtecha yipol. Bamakashu agever shemilat esposa mehen, lo yavoshu kizab is oven bashoah. So we have many psukim about how you. Wisdom should be your sister, and it should be written in the heart. It's like arrows, sharp arrows, and the person who fills up his quiver with many of these arrows will always not be embarrassed and be able to speak against his enemies in the shav. Ma'ez over mashav. What does it mean to speak to enemies in the shav? Amar Reb Chiya v'Abba, afilo ha'abu b'no, harav v'talmido. Oskim b'toy b'shav echad, Nasim oivim zeze. Enim zazim mishom, achin nasim oivim zeze. Shneema es vohe besufa. I'll take it besufa, ela besofa. Even sons and parents, tamidim and rabbonim, will have disputes and argue, but eventually they resolve their disputes in Torah and become oivim, as it says, vohe besufa, besofa. In the end, there's vohe, there's avo. Okay, turn the page to the Tosfos. Alpha Gamgen Batomolo. Not supposed to start. If someone asks you a question in Torah, you have to give the answer right away. Vodam Abba'ela Matthias. The Tsubim Rabbanon Mashani Vidibure Bimasechta. The Gemara Abba Matthias says, that if someone asks the Talmud Chacham, do you know a certain Masechta? He should say no. He should cover up what he knows. Omer Venutam, Hainu im Sholem Oto im Mamadato Masechta Zu, Al Yizgoy Loma Shalomda, from Lamad Yahweh. If someone asks, did you learn this Masechta? He shouldn't show off and say, yeah, sure, I know it. That's a question that's showing off. You're not supposed to say. Aval im Sholem Oto Zvav Locha. If it's a serious question about it, about Locha, or Shetzvichim Lema Mimena Masechta, perhaps they want to study with him in Masechta, so Akshim Chudazim Befiv. So you can't get the doctor, he has to have it very sharp, not to be, not to stutter. It depends. He's supposed to cover up and say you don't know if it's just showing off. But if it's a serious, sincere question, you have to give an answer. Yes.
What exactly is
your answer? What's going to ask you? Should you say no? Because no. I don't know it.
I don't know it?
They
ask you if you studied it, not if you know it.
You can say, I never studied it. You want to say, if you're going to the case of personal adults, it's a minute to lie. To be modest, a person is permitted to lie.
Can you go over this again with the stops?
Okay, sure. Hardama Ba'ela Messias, stop. The Tsuma Mirabanon Mashani Bitibure Bimasechta, stop. That a Talmud Chacham can change his words about a Masechta, he can lie about a Masechta. Mashani Bitibure, change his words or lie. Masechta, stop. That would actually be a question mark over there, because Agamara says you should know it very clearly. The Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham is allowed, and apparently it's suggested that he fudged and said he doesn't know it. Amar ben Utan, pause. The Hainu im Sholim Oto im Madat and Masechta Zu, pause. Al Yizgoya Lome Shalomda, pause. Fomu Lamati Habe, pause. That if they ask him, did you learn this Masechta, he shouldn't become prideful and boastful and say, I did learn this. In other words, I learned a lot of things. That you know how to do. You have to even tell an untruth.
About. Stutter and not supposed to answer either.
If someone asks a question, and it's a question of showing off, so you don't show off. You say you don't know.
Right,
exactly. If it's a sincere question where they ask him a halacha, pause. Or they want to study with him as a masechta. They want him to teach them. Pause. It should be very sharp in his mouth. Pause. He shouldn't stutter about this thing. If it's a sincere question, boom, he knows the answer right away. Pause. It's not also like it says from one of an early source. Lamad l'shon choloma eina yodeya shema tizbada v'sochas. Teach yourself to always say, I don't know. Because you might be disproven and caught. If you're going to say that you know, they may ask you a question and then they'll see that you really don't know. So therefore, in order to avoid the embarrassment of being caught, as if you know something that you don't know, it's better to always say, I don't know. So that's also a question. That Nagamara says you're supposed to say things quickly and sharply and to the point. And there the Gemara says, no. So don't say, it maybe you're going to make a mistake. Better don't say you don't know.
What is
that? Tit-bada? You might be caught with a mistake. You might be found out to be deceived. Tit-bada, you might be caught with a mistake, with an untrue, with a false statement. B'tochaz, I'll catch you. Zahaino! When does the Gemara there say not to give answers and to double talk and get your way out of a question? V'milah de alma. That's an everyday affair. Okay? V'afilu b'divei Torah lo yoma yudeya nidova l'sfor. But even about Torah, you're not supposed to say no things in order to brag about it. L'sfor bobekach, to brag about this thing. Mashi yudeya. But what he does know, he should decide, make a psak, as a judge. Yoma la tamidim, he should teach the students. So, such like this. If it's everyday affairs, so, people wanted to know. Do you know biology? Say no. Maybe even though this morning you got a 99 on your bio comprehensive, you got an 800. Yeah, do you know biology? No! No. To be honest. And there's no point in telling people what you know. But, if it's Torah, if it's a sincere question, you must answer the question. But if it's just time to show off, so also not.
Somebody asked where you're learning this.
You can say, I'm trying to learn Kedusha. But don't say, I know Kedusha. Say, I'm trying to learn it. Say, do you know it? Say, no, I don't know it. Rebbe test. When Rebbe says, do you know it, you better know it.
Sorry,
yeah.
Isn't that just showing up? Yeah,
I'm
already getting 100
every day. Just between you and me. So the Rebbe, you're allowed to show off. We should put a little extra footnote to the Tosfos. Chutz melefnei Rabbo mutar lehisboya. Kedei sherabbo yachshiv oso l'talmud chacham. The Rebbe should think of the talmud chacham, so he should show off what he knows. It's a mitzvah. To give the Rebbe simcha. The Rebbe has a simcha, then he has talmidei chachamim for talmidei. This is a chelik in the world. We want to have talmidei and talmidei chachamim. Yes, David.
I was going to say, let's say you want to give kavod to your Rebbe, but if someone asks you, who's your Rebbe, and then it's like, oh, so do you know the Tosefta? If you say no,
But meanwhile, if a guy says he does know it, and then the question is, says, okay, you do know it, what does Tosefta say in Daf Chavzayin Amud Beis? And they got that's not good enough. The Gemara says you have to be able to know it so well that you can give the answer without looking it up on the Shvat.
Yeah.
Like a razor blade captain. Okay, go back.
Which
one?
What is the door out of that teacher? The last word?
The next to last word? Yoram is the teacher.
And
Yoram is the learner? Yoram means more than teach. Yoram means actually to give a psak. Give a decision. Okay, we go back into the Gemara. Namad Beis, Laman Namad Beis, by the two back. Halfway through the thin lines on top. This Gemara is very easy. I'm not going to translate it. If you have a question, you ask me what the words mean, but right now I just want to read it through. Tana Rabbanan, the Samten. It says in Pasuk, the Samten Esabai, put the words of Torah in your heart, make a drash. Samten, perfect medicine. Samten. Sam means medicine, Tam means perfect. Nimshala Torah, Kasam Chayim, the medicine of life. You know, people always look for the, what do they call it? Yeah, well, I was in Florida looking for the fountain of youth. That's what the Gemara says. Sometimes, Torah is the fountain of life. Marshal Adam, Shehikes, Beno, Machu Gadol, Beniachlo, V'toya ha-makasam. So the father, first of all, he gave his son a good licking, and then he gave him some bandages to heal the wound. Amal abani, kozman sha-v'toya zu ha-makascha. As long as you have this bandage medicine, this bandage with the antibiotics, echol masha ha-naska, you can eat what you want. Shasei masha ha-naska. Ruchot, you can go swimming, vein v'chamin, vein v'tzonen, ein atzom nisyare, nothing to fear. And atzom aviro, if you take the bandage with the medicine off, harei malanumi, you're going to get an infection. And you won't be able to do anything, you'll be sick with an infection. Tachat kadosh baruch, omelem l'yisrael, vana, barati yetzahara, I gave you the yetzahara, Barasi lo Torah tavlin. The Torah is the spice. The Torah is the cure. Im atem hoshim b'Torah, ein atem nimsarim b'yadah. Shenema. It says in Chasuk, Halo imtetiv v'eis. If you do good things, you'll be able to overcome the eis around. That means you study Torah. Im ein atem hoshim b'Torah, atem nimsarim b'yadah. You're going to be given into his hand. Shenema. La Pesach Chatos Roved. The sin is waiting at the door of a person. Va'od. Not only that, Ela Shekol Masa O Matano B'cho. The Yetzara will do all of his attention on you. Shnema Lecha Tishukoso. He will desire to conquer you. Him Asa Rose, but if you have a good will, Asa Moshelbo, you can conquer him. Shnema Ata Timshalbo. Tana Rabbanu, kosher yetzahara. Yetzahara is very difficult. Shafilu yotzro, even the creator, God, karo ra, called it bad. Shnema kiyetzer, lei ha'adam, ra min uro. Man, desire of his heart, of evil, from the very youth. Amar Reb Yitzchak, yitzchak shel adam, mischadesh olav b'chol yayin. Every day the yetzahara becomes new. The Mirak Ra Kol Hayyan. Amishim and Levi. Yitzhushal Adam Mizgaber Allah Bokhoyan becomes strong every day. Mabakesh Hamiso tries to kill him. Shinema. So far, Rasha the Tzaddik. The Rasha looked at the Tzaddik. Mabakesh Lahmiso is trying to kill him. Molech Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozro. If God wouldn't help the person, Ein Yachalo by himself, he can never overcome the Yitzhara. Shenema Elokim lo yazvenu biyado. Tana Be'er Mishmor, B'ni, im paga b'cho menubul deh. If this disgusting thing attacks you, in the Yetzara, mashchei l'beis ha-medrish, pull him to the yeshiva. Im even hu, if he's like a stone, nimuach, he will melt away. Im baudel hu, if he's like a piece of iron, misposet, he'll explode. Shinema, hello, close the barai, ta'ish, do Hashem, kukupatish, yubotzeh tzela. My words are like a fire, says God, and like a hammer which explodes a rock. Im even hu nemuach, and if he's an even hu, he'll disappear. Shinema, ho, kol, tzomer, l'chulamayim. Anyone who's thirsty should go to the water of Torah. Or ma'avonim, shachakumayim. Stones can be worn away by water. Since Torah is water, water can remove the edge of stone. Latil Isha. You have to help your son get married with a wife, Manolim Dachsiv. Kachun Nashim, it's a pasuk in. This pasuk is in the Miyal. Kachun Nashim. Halidu Banim Ubanos. Kulav Nechem Nashim. As the Noseichem, Tnula Nashim. So the Navi Yirmiyahu tells the Jews when they go to Bavel, take women, have children, have daughters for your sons, and have your daughters marry your sons-in-law. Says Bishlama Beno Biyado. I understand the Gemara says that your own son, you have control. You can give him money. You can maybe run around and bring him a shidduch. Elabita Yadohi, does a person have the power to marry off a daughter? Since even in those days, the Gemara didn't think it was so easy to get a daughter married off. So how can the Navi just say, go find a son-in-law for your daughter? Is that so easy? It's a funny Gemara. Well, it says, Hachi Kamalahu. This is what the Navi wanted to say. Nitan la midi. Give your daughter things. Live shaya. Dress her with nice clothes. Nechsaya. Give her money. Give her property. Ki hechi de kav. Delay in she. That people should jump to marry. Wasn't so easy in those days either. You had to help your daughter get married. Right. Dowry. The lambda umnes. You have to teach your son a trade. Menolon amachiski adamakro. The pasuk says, Re'ei chayin im isha shahafta. Look, have life with the woman that you love. Im isha mamashi, if this pasuk means your real wife, the pasuk in Kohelet. So if it means your real wife, it means, kashem shachayev lasio isha, the way you should help your son marry a wife, kachayev lamda umnis, also teach him a trade, so he should be able to live with his wife. Re'ei chayim, so how to live, he has to have a trade. Im torahi, if the pasuk means the woman is symbolic, a wife is Torah. Kashem shachayev lamda Torah, the way you have to teach him Torah. Kachayev lamda umnis, you have to teach him a trade.
But if you look at the Shadr Drash,
right. Interesting Gemara, yeah. This is the Yeshiva University Gemara. You have to go to college and have a profession. Yes. Parents have to pay tuition. Remember.
The thing before, even though that was the only time we saw an obligation to do something for your daughters. So is there, can we start from this, that the only obligation we have for our daughters?
I explained the other day. Oh. My personal opinion is that there's a lot of there are many obligations that our parents have for daughters. I would say even just from this Gemara, the Gemara says you have to help your daughters get married. So he says, how do you help them get married? Give them clothing and give them dowry, money. And if she doesn't know Torah, and if she's an ignoramus, who's going to want to marry her? Just because she has money, she's rich. People are looking for girls who know Torah. They go to school. So therefore, in other words, it goes back to what I said the first day of this man. Things which are going to obviously happen, you don't have to have a mitzvah, you don't have to spell it out. It's obvious. No question, the girls are in the house much more than the boys. So vis-a-vis the boys are running around and who knows what they're getting into trouble into. So therefore we have a lot of mitzvahs and a lot of halachas that the father has to teach his son this and teach his son that and do this and that. Because boys are hard to control. So you need a special chiyuv. But girls are in the house anyway. So therefore it's only natural that they're going to be raised to be good Jewish women. They don't have to have a special thing. That's my own opinion. Okay, we go on. Yesh omim apleshita b'naha. Some said to teach a son how to swim. And I have to say, since I swim a few times a week in the pool and I rarely see a yeshiva boy in the pool, I have to assume that very few people here know how to swim. And it must be that for some reason you didn't learn how to swim. So if you don't know how to swim, you can come down and I'll teach you.
Right.
Sure.
For a fee.
I'm allowed to take money to be a swim teacher. I'm not allowed to take money for a Gemara teacher, but swimming teaching I'm allowed. So I charge $100 for 15 minutes. A lesson.
They can get credit for it.
It's not free.
$30,000
a year.
You're paying $30,000 a year.
Okay.
To go to school, to get the education. For the dorms, for the meal sandwiches,
$2,000
for the textbooks.
Okay, we go on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, let's go right. I gotta finish the Omer, devotee. Another few minutes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol she'eno melamdo umnis melamdo listis. If you don't teach your son a trade, you teach him to be a thief. Listis sol kedaitach, a real thief. Ela ke'ilu melamdo listis. It's as if you teach him to be a thief. My benayu, the Chachamim also said you should teach your son a trade. What did Yom Yehuda add to them? He could benayu the agnes if you teach him to be a businessman. According to Chachamim, businessman is also good enough. He can make a living. If Yehuda doesn't like it, Yehuda wants only a profession. Business, he says, can lead a person to become a thief. No side sin. A machlokus between Chachamim and Yehuda, should you have a side sin degree or not? Tana Kama says even business is good enough. In other words, a profession or a business. And Yehuda says only profession, no business. Yes.
I think what this means is that the business, meaning a guy who does that business without any education. Once you have education, it's not like business anyway. It's like a...
No, the Gemara says he has education. Agmare, the education of Iska, of a business. Even with education, Rabbi Yehuda is against it.
I mean, like running a merchandise
shop,
not to be like an accountant.
Oh, that's true. You could say an accountant is a profession. It means where there's risk. Right, where there's risk.
Like if you're in finance, you're investing lots of money.
Right, let's say a finance, a trader.
But even if you work for someone else, it's also like a profession.
That could also be, that's correct. You work for someone else, that's a profession. It's only when you take the risk yourself with your own money. That's what it means. Good point.
You should be an
entrepreneur. And a parent shouldn't, you can be an entrepreneur, but the parent is supposed to give his son an education of an umnus, of a trade, cannot say, I'm training my son to be an entrepreneur. That's not good enough. You have to give him a real trade. Kol mitzvah avol ben. Okay, I think we can stop here because this is already going to get us into the kibbutz av aim discussion.